You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, I'll be talking to Belle Ducray, illustrator for Infinite Light Publishing, who I met in Ojai with Ayn Kate Sullivan, her publisher. I have one of their wonderful books, Sparkle and the Light, a series that empowers gifted children with awesome illustrations. Belle Crow Ducray grew up in the Tennessee Valley foothills creating art and dreaming of illustrating children's books. She has always believed that what we can imagine, we can create. Design is in Belle's lineage. She wishes to inspire passion for creativity and joy to children of all ages and has illustrated 7 award-winning children's books, which have won over 20 awards. She has also illustrated 3 books for adult audiences, Legends of the Grail, Stories of Celtic Goddesses, which recently won the anthology division of the London Book Festival. You can find out more at www.infinitelightpublishing.com, and, of course, you can find her on Facebook, where you can find me, too. So let's welcome her to the show now.
We must have gotten some interference.
Yeah,
that happened. We hung up for a second. Yeah. Well, you know, in modern technology, the one thing you can count on is that you can't count on it.
Right. It makes me wonder sometimes what would happen if it all collapsed. We'd just be totally lost. I think a lot of people would be.
Well, I just went through the fires out here in California, and I saw, really what happens when communication and electricity and everything that we come to count on every day goes down. So, yeah, it's pretty wild how we've become so dependent on everything. So, yeah, great talking to you. So we're back on live, okay?
Yes, we are. Yeah, we lost you for a second, but you missed all the wonderful things I said about you.
Well,
you can
know,
hear
it's
it
funny.
In the archives on Monday.
Yeah, well, it's okay. You know, I think I've heard. I think I gave you that information, so I think it's okay. So,
yeah.
but it's funny because I grew up in the land of technology, and really, when you think about it, the fact that we can sit here and do all this and information beaming up and beaming back down and coming back and around, is pretty amazing that we're doing all this within the last 20 some odd years.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yes. Absolutely.
It's, pretty darn amazing. So, yeah. And you know, and we still need books, though.
Well, not many people seem to. They're buried in their cell phones.
Well, you know, I'm generally not. I still believe in the power of our imagination and that kids need to read books and they need to tell stories and they need to have legends told to them from all different perspectives. Feel very fortunate to be able to sit down and draw for 8 to 10 hours a day sometimes.
Oh, that's
and not very
wonderful.
Many people get to do that. Yeah.
Wow. And yeah, you're right.
Talk to the fairies and talk to the stars and talk about beings with lights coming out of their head and indigo children and entities from other worlds, from within and from without. So, yeah.
Oh, I love all that stuff. And as a kid, I used to, you know, talk to them myself. I was in my own imaginary world. I would, you know, they were there. They still are there.
I think they're still here. A friend came over today and they said, well, what's up with the new fairy? Who put the fairy seat in the garden? I said, well, me. I mean, don't they all need a place to sit? You know,
exactly.
I mean, you know.
And, you know, my friend Randy, who lives in Ojai, she's just a wonderful person, and she takes the orb pictures. I think you might have seen some of them.
I think yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember Randy.
Yeah,
exactly.
I love her dearly. And she has been taking pictures of orbs ever since we went to a David Icke conference in Mount Shasta about 15 years ago, maybe 12 years ago, and we both got this adjustment from Rene Champeau from Austria, and it was supposedly to correct something that the Anunnaki had done to our vertebrae. And I didn't feel anything, but Jean-Claude Coven was the one who flew him out, and many people had, you know, epiphanies and, you know, just dramatic changes. Well, after that adjustment is when she started taking pictures with her camera, and she was just getting orbs and spirit, nature spirits and all kinds of strange things. So she has thousands of them now. And I remember
her photographs. Yeah. Did we meet at Penny Kelly's?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
I thought that's where we met. I was trying to remember where we met, and I couldn't remember if it was Howard Wills or Penny Kelly, but
it was Penny
I remember.
Kelly. And I've had Penny Kelly on the show a couple of times the last month, and she's coming back in, I think, April.
Oh, yay.
I just adore her. She is so fucking wonderful.
She is great.
Isn't she? Man.
Yeah.
I'm so lucky to know such wonderful people, including you, of course.
Oh, well. You know, I think we're all, as they say, the same tribe. You know?
I think so. Yeah,
I think you're right. It's like the ancient. I was talking to you a little while ago. We were talking about things from outer space, but I'm also talking about things from inner space.
Right.
And I find that many of the places that are portals or places of that sort are usually above a water source, or they're above a cave, or there is an entrance, you know, to an underworld. And then you start talking about the She, the S-I-D-H-E, you know, those that were sent underground when Christianity came about, and, you know, they took their pagan / magical ways and went down under the earth, right?
Oh.
And one of the things I grew up around Wernher von Braun that he was so enamored with were the caves and the magical depth to which, you know, there is underneath the world just as much as there is above the world. So
you knew Wernher von Braun?
I knew him quite well. He was my next-door neighbor across the street. His son, Peter, was... Dad designed the world's largest space museum with him.
Huh.
And I had Wiener Schnitzel with him every Thursday night, and we played Bomb Raid, and he was quite the brilliant man. And I grew up around a lot of the scientists of that era.
Wow.
They came and they put him in my little hometown, and my grandfather was the politician that brought him there.
Wow.
So I grew up with the astronauts coming to house for dinner.
Oh,
and
my
Mrs.
God.
Baker. Yeah, Mrs. Baker, the monkey, lived in my bed for 2 days.
Wow.
You know, so it was fun. It all seemed normal at the time. You know, I didn't realize, you know, that the guy that was living next door to me was inventing the world's first personal computer either. So, you know, it was just, you know, it was space and technology and brilliant people and... You know, just a little southern town in the middle of the world. Now it's one of the largest, fastest growing mega cities, you know, in America right now, just because of the space. Yeah.
Did Wernher ever talk about anything that was going on behind the scenes? Because we all have read or know that he was one of the Germans who was brought over here with Project Paperclip. So that's, I think everybody that's listening knows that.
Yeah. He did. And, you know, some say, you know, and I'm not going to get into conspiracy theories, but actually my godfather, who just passed away a couple of days ago, did a wonderful book about Wernher. And I don't know what the book was named. You know, I grew up with it. But my godfather's name was... Robert Ward.
Okay.
And he did a wonderful expose of basically, you know, the Germans coming in and how they treated them, how we treated them. I remember my mother telling me when I was, I don't know, 8 or 9, 9, 10, somewhere that age, that the von Brauns had to leave. And they were very upset. Mrs. von Braun was a very good friend of my mother's, and she would come down and have coffee all the time.
Wow.
She said that the government was forcing him out and taking him away from his team.
Huh.
and he moved to Washington and was diagnosed with cancer very shortly after that.
Who was diagnosed with cancer? Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah. You broke up for a second. Who was diagnosed with cancer?
Von Braun was diagnosed with cancer right after they made him leave Alabama.
Oh. Well,
the minute
you know,
he got to Washington, he basically died.
Wow. Well, he was, how old was he when he passed?
He was very young. I'd say he was in his 50s.
Huh.
You know, he was just always tall and handsome and,
really?
And spoke with an accent. And my mother would always tell me, be quiet, he's very smart, you know. And I just treated him as, oh, well, he's that brilliant scientist that lives across the street. And, you know, and he would, you know, always ask what we were doing. He was very interested in what we had learned in school. He wanted to have, you know, deep conversations with the children. You know, he came to the table very... very tall and handsome, very, you know, he always reminded me of the guy on The Sound of Music, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, he quite handsome, drove
wow.
a Mercedes. Yeah, it was fun. Again, it all seemed normal.
Little did you know.
To sex travel, you know, UFOs, and caves. He was totally enamored with the caves, and that's why he actually came to Limes County was because of this amazing cave vortex that the Huntsville is built on. Yeah.
Huh. So, did he ever talk about that? Because you know, that's something that we have a lot of here out in gold country.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of caves because they were digging for gold, and the Masons and the Druids had a very strong presence in this town during the gold rush. So, in fact, I think that they show up wherever there's a metaphysical spot that you could have encounters with. It's not about necessarily about the wealth or the gold.
No. Well, I mean, if you look at the crop circles, you know, they're always above water sources also.
Mm.
You know, yeah, I mean, I think that when you really get down to it, that there is, you know, there is this interweaving of channels, and I've always found myself, I live above a well no matter where I go.
Huh.
I don't plan it.
Yeah.
But my family was the well keeper, and we were known as the well keeper, our family.
Wow.
And we were always Big Spring, which is where I'm from. We were the keepers of the well.
Wow.
And I think that, you know, if you understand, especially this day and age in California with the drought, you know, the importance of water, you know, and I said, you know, 20 years ago, I used to have a French husband that was so crazy about Evian water. And I said, honey, that's just naive spelled backwards. I mean, you know,
right.
They're going to get us and they're going to start selling us water more than they sell it to us for oil. And here we sit.
Oh,
paying
yeah.
more for water than we do for oil, and water's not a right anymore.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
So it's an interesting place that we've put ourselves, you know. And
well,
and you know, in California we survived the fires, but now we gotta pray that the rain doesn't come too hard or else we're gonna lose our house in a mudslide.
Oh yeah.
You know,
and with the,
I know
with
people
the weather
that are on
being...
the East Coast don't quite understand that, but
well, with the weather being controlled predominantly by, you know, the shadow government. We had 5 or 6 years of drought here, and I thought for sure that all of the farmers, the organic farmers, were going to pick up their things and just walk away from their farms, but they didn't, and that California would be bought up, and, you know, that's how the Great Depression came about.
Mm-hmm.
It was manufactured so that it could be, you know, all of these corporations could be picked up for pennies on the dollar.
Exactly.
So, I mean,
there's a lot of
stuff that goes on that we're not aware of.
Yeah, I know a lot of people that are, you know, especially Ojai, because I just left Ojai, and I'm now in the San Ynez Valley. I just moved in the last week, which is only, it's only a stone's throw, you know. It's right above Santa Barbara.
Mm-hmm. My birthplace.
Ann moved up here last year. We actually renovated, because I'm also a decorator, but we actually renovated her house, which was a Masonic lodge built in the 1920s by French Rosicrucians.
How cool. Yeah.
It was really, and I was like, everybody else going, do you understand this house is sacred geometry? You know, and everybody was like, what? I was like, no, it's all sacred geometry. It's all painted north. All the measurements are sacred geometry.
I said,
this is a true Masonic lodge built by Masons in the
20s.
Solid brick. It was really fun. Yeah.
Jeez. Well, my grandparents were also Masons that came out in a covered wagon from Kansas.
Well, there you have it, right?
Yeah. I was raised on Manly P. Hall and, you know, National Geographics and things like that. So I used to like to look at the pictures. So you both moved into, you're moving into the same house, the Masonic Lodge? That's so wonderful.
No, she moved in. No, she, I designed her house and renovated it. And I was still in Ojai. And when the fires came in December and then the floods and then the, you know, just an unlivable kind of reality, you know, everybody was evacuated last week too. I just had an opportunity to move up here. I'm living on a beautiful permaculture farm. I've got ducks and geese and chickens and a rescue pig farm next door. I wake up to pigs going,
I love it.
on 5 acres, and it's so healthy, and just my animals love it, and I love it. And it's just been, you know, it's been moving. That's never fun. But,
But it's
a very beautiful, healthy, wonderful environment. So I'm really excited. I kind of manifested it, you know, and here it is. So
well,
it's wonderful.
You're quoted as saying that you believe that what you imagine can become reality. And of course,
I firmly believe that. Yes.
Yeah, I do too. We just don't empower ourselves because we have so many limiting beliefs that tell us otherwise. But those are just programs and thought forms that have been placed there over the years. And
well, I think people tell you you're not strong enough, or you know your wishes don't come true.
Yeah.
You know, but then again, I never cut down a dandelion. You know, I really believe in believing, and I think that so many people have forgotten what it is to believe in believing,
mm-hmm.
and to really believe or to see yourself. I do. Ann taught me how to do the I am. You know, where you draw your heart in the middle of the page,
and
you write I am in the middle of that heart, and from that heart you draw your lines out, and you say, you know, I always start with I'm connected to spirit and I am grounded, but then every other line that you draw off, I am. Living in a healthy environment. I am creating, I am living my dream. I am, you know, I am all the things that you can imagine that you are. If you just state them, then they will be. But if you don't state them, if you don't ask the universe for them, the universe doesn't know what to give you.
Right, right. It's a creation machine.
It is a creation. You are a creation machine.
Yeah,
you know, if you say, I want to illustrate children's books, then you'll illustrate children's books. But if you just sit around and go, well, I think I'll watch a movie and I'll wish this and, you know, I'll go do that. But if you really put your intentions on what you dream of, whether it be relationships or you know, your weight or, you know, how you eat or what you do for a living or what kind of car you drive, you know, it is, if you see yourself in that position,
mm-hmm.
it's like manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wake up in the morning and I wake up early. But then I go back to sleep, and I use that REM state to see myself finishing a drawing or to see myself painting that wall or to see myself climbing the ladder to that place that I can't get to.
Ooh, I like that.
And then
I'm
see it.
Incorporate that.
And then I wake up, and then I've done it.
Yeah.
So I'm not afraid to create it or do it because I see myself doing it.
Yes, right. Well, and then when we don't create our dreams and our joy and from our imagination, we're kind of buffeted around. Like it's like being in a boat on the ocean and just kind of going wherever the waves take you. So, and I hear people in seminars and various other New Age things all asking the same questions. Who am I? Why am I here? Am I going to have a relationship? And it's just people are just lost in this wonderland of questions about themselves that are really all answered within.
They really are. I had someone throw my bones not too long ago, a doctor from Africa, And, you know, he takes the bones and trinkets and he throws them out, and you sit in his, you know, his yurt, and he's got all his herbs around him. And I threw my bones out, and my mother had just passed away, and he looked at me, never met me. And he looked at me and goes, wow, you know, I have so many people come to me. He says, but you are on your path. You're doing what you love to do. He said, very few people come to me with that clear of an intention.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, wow, and you're an artist. And I went, uh-huh. And he goes, and he looked at the bones again. He went, like, you're crazy, artist. Like, you're so artistic. And I went, did somebody tell you? And he went, no. It's just, you know, because I think if you stick to your plan, you know, if you want to be a permaculture gardener, be a permaculture gardener. If you're going to be an artist, then be an artist. If you want to, you know, be the best thinker in the world, go be the best thinker in the world. I'm not saying that, you know, you're only going to be fulfilled if you're doing a creative thing, but I do think that everybody needs to find something creative.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I'm a little prejudiced, but I find that people, you know, that don't, you know, write or paint or sculpt or dream or,
mm-hmm.
you know, just even collaging. I mean, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to be great, as I tell kids when I teach art. I'm like, do you think that Monet is fabulous? Everybody knows the Monet. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
I said, do you think
that Picasso is wonderful? And they go, yeah, we know Picasso. And I said, well, Monet was blind as a bat, and you can draw better than Picasso. I said,
right.
So, you know, who's to say what art is, or who's to say, you know, it doesn't have to be perfect, you know, so, oh, I can't draw like you. I said, well, I don't want you to draw like me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want you to write like me. I don't want you to, you know, to sculpt like me. Just
right.
be and do.
That's
and just
why
create
you.
Something. Yeah. I mean, even if cooking, baking,
mm-hmm.
creating meals for your family,
mm-hmm.
You know, just find that creation. I grew up Episcopal pagan, I like to call it,
mm-hmm.
Catholic light. You know, we would go to church just so we could go have Bloody Marys afterwards. But, you know, that was what church was. But I went and we said this prayer, Our Father who art in heaven,
yeah.
hallowed be thy name. And when I was growing up, I thought that God's name was Art Howard.
My dad's name was
Our Father who art in heaven,
hallowed
be thy name.
That
so
is
I thought
so
his first
strange.
Name was Art.
Because my dad's name was Arthur Howard White.
And, we'll see.
And my mother was Frances Thelma Newland, and she named me Lance for Lancelot because King Arthur, of course. So I have
yeah.
the I have, one of my guys is Merlin.
Uh-huh. We're writing our new series, Legends of the Grail.
Ooh.
Is totally tapping into all of the ancient Arthurian legends. Our second one coming out is called Ladies of Avalon, no, Goddesses of Avalon, and then our last one is called Kings and Heroes, which
Ooh.
Goes into Lancelot and Arthur
Ooh.
And you
oh,
know,
yeah.
Merlin and Merlin's story and Noemi who turns into Vivian and, you know, Merlin has a child. And there's all these stories caught up in these archetypes that we've only known through Doyle, right?
Right, right.
And, you know, it's kind of like, our whole Legends of the Grail is kind of like if Eve had her chance, don't you think the story would be a little different?
Right, right.
Because we've been listening to his story for 5,000 years.
Yeah, exactly.
And we love men. It's not, you know, we're
right.
not men bashing at all. But
right.
what we're saying is we've been limited in our perspective of history. And that's
yeah.
why it's called His Story, not Her Story.
Exactly. Well, listen, when you get that book out, Legends of the Grail, you let me know, and I'd like
well,
to get
out.
A copy.
Well, it's out. That's the one that's out.
Oh, it is
it just
out.
Came out. Anne's on a tour right now with that. And then the second one is coming out, I think April, May. I'm finishing up one of the last drawings. And each one, it's a series of three.
Okay.
And, yeah, I'll make sure to get you a copy.
Please, because
give me your
I'll
address
have...
after the show, and I'll send it to you.
Yeah,
you can
and
find
I'll
them all
guys...
on Infinite Light Publishing.
Oh, good. Yeah, so, of course, she has her own publishing company.
Yeah.
And I just had Barbara Hand Clow on the show recently, who's writing a trilogy loosely based on the Catholic Church and some of the things that we don't know about. Mm-hmm. And she's come out with her second book, which is Revelations of a Ruby. Well, the first was Revelations of the Ruby Crystal. And
okay.
The next one is Revelations of the Aquarian Age. And I'm telling you, these books are really wonderful. And
yeah.
She's working on the third one now. So I love having authors and illustrators on the show to talk about that, because especially when they're that good, you know, when there's so much quality behind it.
Well, we've got another one coming out, which is a children part of the Sparkle series called Sparkle and the Rainbow Dragon.
Ooh.
And it's about the dragon who loses her emerald heart.
Oh,
And saving the planet. And it's about a little Cherokee Indian. Yeah, it's really sweet. So, yeah, we stay busy. You know, we can barely keep up with ourselves.
Wow.
And Anne and I are both studying to be druidesses. And
oh,
Anne is
really?
Actually on a druid quest right now and just got back from Glastonbury and Tintingle, and she went down into Merlin's Cave, and she's been up to the Coilock, and she's been doing all kinds of research. And she has a PhD in Celtic mythology.
Wow.
So it doesn't just come from, you know, way out there, as they say.
Right,
she actually
right.
has a PhD.
Well, that's interesting, because the Druids had a very strong presence here in the town I am in now, which is in Gold Country, as did the Masons. And they're still here. The Druids are still, they donated the lamp that's in the center of town. Talking about the Druids and
yes.
how Anne was doing the authentic research by going to Glastonbury, and that it's not just channeled information that's coming from outer space, that
no.
it's based on facts, that this Legends of the Grail, and the new book with a Sparkle is the Emerald and the Dragon.
Yes.
So that's about.
And
they're all
basically Druid and pagan ancient
yeah.
stories. Even our book, A Story of Becoming, is about the golden apple tree from Glastonbury and from the Mist of Avalon, and you know, in Avalon.
Wow.
Avalon being, you know, that place that we've all read about, Mist of Avalon, or, you know, the Secret Isle of Avalon. But Avalon, you know, is an actual real place, and there is a well, and there is, you know, there is history, and there is Stonehenge, as we all know. And, you know, there is Tintingle, and there are caves, and there are peaks, and there are portals, no matter where you are, whether you're in England or up in your neck of the woods or in Huntsville, Alabama, or, you know, in San Ynez, you know.
Right.
I think that portals exist everywhere, and I think if we just can be open to, and the thing with the Druids, you know, from what I understand and what I'm learning, is that Christianity, Judaism, Muslims, they all have doctrines. They all have a Bible or a book,
uh-huh.
a written word that they go by. The Druids and the pagans didn't go by the written word. They went by nature or the bards. It was storytelling.
Yes.
It wasn't something that was written,
yes.
you know, written, you know, I mean, they had ogams, and they had, you know, ancient wells, and they had places that they went and stories that they told. But it's, you know, if it wasn't for Lady Gregory, you know, and some of the poets, none of the stories would still be there.
Wow.
They would have been lost to Christianity. You know, it's like the story of St. Patrick, and don't get me started on that one.
Right.
You know? You know, I mean, he's the only guy that we actually celebrate his death and not his birth. I don't know if you realize that.
I did not know.
Yeah, everybody thinks we're celebrating St. Patrick's birth, but we're actually celebrating St. Patrick's death.
Oh.
Which, don't get me started. You know, there were no snakes in Ireland. So, you know,
well,
again, misconception and mistold stories.
You know, Michael Tessarian wrote a series of books called, I think it's The Irish Roots of Civilization or something. Anyway,
mm-hmm.
they're tomes, and he makes a point for the idea that Ireland is really the hub of civilization where it truly began.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are working on researching that and rediscovering the truth about our heritage, because we don't get much of it in anything that's taught us or in any books. And
yeah.
it's always been my thought that true connection to source or spirit or your team or whatever is live. It's not
mm-hmm.
in written words, because written words are secondhand information, like a Goodwill store.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, the Irish, you go back to Kaysair or Bamba, who was Noah's granddaughter, who was left off the ark. And she was the original, why they called it Tir na n Abhainn, the land of women. And she came up, she's the black Irish. She, according to legend, she came up, had her own boat filled with a ton of women and three men, and founded Ireland. Kaysair or Bamba, and basically Bamba is who they celebrated on St. Patrick's Day, but they sent her out the backyard and put St. Patrick on for the holiday, and gave St. Patrick the holiday that she originally held, which the reason that it was the color green is because she was of the earth and she was Mother Nature.
Wow.
So many mistold Irish. I'm at like 55% Irish and 22% Viking. So, fell off the front of that Viking ship. I find that a lot of Irish stories, are mistold, and I'm not always politically correct, but we all think of slavery and we think of the African Americans, but the Irish were held prisoners and slaves just as much, and were interbred to create the mulatto race. The Irish women were kidnapped and brought to America and mixed bred, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Irish were slaves also. But nobody talks about the Irish slavery.
Right, right. Well, from one point of view, all of humanity is enslaved.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But I'm a big fan of Egypt also. I went to Egypt when I was 14 in 1974.
Ooh.
And really started seeing the world from the bigger perspective and seeing extraterrestrial and realizing that, hey, we're just babies here on this planet, and understanding the story of Isis and Osiris and also playing that in, it's the Bible story. It's every story. If we go back to the ancient Egyptians and what they had to teach us and who they were and what they were and still are, and their influence on society still. We're all back to hieroglyphics now with all of our emojis,
Right, right. And McDonald's Golden Arches, of course.
Exactly. But when you think that Ireland was basically founded by the Egyptians, if you follow that vein of story, it's not surprising.
What else did you discover when you were in Egypt? Because I have a friend, Dr. Carmen Bolter, who has been going there for about 25 or 30 years, and she's been on the show quite a few times, and she did a wonderful series called The Pyramid Code. And she's very similar to us. She's intuitive and empathic and the rest. And she says that even when you're in the plane, you can feel the energy shift. Mm-hmm. And she's had opportunities to take her groups into the Great Pyramid alone without other tourists. And she said it's just phenomenal.
When I went, it was 1974, so take yourself back a little bit.
Ooh.
Egypt had been closed off. It had been a communist. They had just built the Aswan Dam. The Russians had come in and built the Aswan Dam. Nothing had been westernized at that point. It was 1974. I was 14 years old. I traveled with a family other than my own, so I was a blonde-haired, blue-eyed young lady floating through the streets of Cairo and Aswan and Luxor and Thebes, basically on my own, and it blew me away. It I was almost kidnapped. It was quite the adventure. People would follow me in the streets yelling "Golden Child, Golden Child," because I had blonde hair and I was 14. I didn't understand that they had never seen a 14-year-old blonde-headed, blue-eyed girl from Alabama.
Wow.
But the magnitude, I think the thing that struck me most of everything was the scale. The scale of the buildings. I was like a ladybug on a giant oak tree.
Wow.
The smallness of me to like one small foot of Ramses. And I'm like the size of less than a toenail, and you're like, but wait, where are these giant people?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And how did they build these things of this ultimate scale that they can't even still to this day, with modern technology, come up with the precision of which they built them, you know, God only knows, 5,000 however many years ago.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I've heard that the actual pyramids were, at least this is one of the theories that's circulating, mm-hmm. were poured like cement. They were mixed and poured, and they've been able to analyze some of the material within them, and much of the material is extraterrestrial. It's nothing found on Earth.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it doesn't surprise me a bit.
I mean, again, you know, number one, I showed up in Egypt, 14 years old, and I just lived across the street from Wernher von Braun, who had gone to the moon and believed in aliens. And I was like, well, sure, of course. I mean, obviously. I mean, hello, duh, who doesn't?
Right.
You know, so to me, it was just affirmation that yes, we're somebody has come here before, and this is kind of where they settled. And you can take, you know, I have this one friend that he loves to, you know, he's just so book smart and just so, he just can throw stuff out at you like he's the Britannica. And he talks about, you know, that ring that goes around the world where you have all the pyramids that are all lined up in the same longitude, latitude, or whatever, whether it be Peru or Mexico or Egypt or, you know, and it goes all around the world. So, I mean, Egypt's not alone in these magical temples of, I don't know, goddess, perhaps?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I think more will be known soon because there are ancient artifacts and also extraterrestrial devices buried all over the planet. And,
mm-hmm.
of course, anytime one is discovered, the black ops go in and cover it up, and they do the back engineering. But Antarctica is going to come into the news very shortly because there's supposed to be a civilization there. And mm-hmm. some say it might have been part of Atlantis. So these things are all
well,
over.
I'm a firm believer in Atlantis. And what was the other one that's on the West Coast?
Lemuria?
Lemuria, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, even the Earth supposedly has chakras, so, and one of them is supposed to be at Mount Shasta.
Yeah, that's the one that I've, yeah, and St. Germain
yeah,
up there.
Yeah, yeah, right, oh, yes,
mm-hmm.
yes.
So, yeah, well, I'm a firm believer, you know.
Yeah,
I have a lot of friends that are traveling back and forth to Peru these days and doing that whole thing.
So what's in Peru?
And, I think they're going for all that ayahuasca stuff.
Oh,
know?
Right, right, right. Right. Well, they're also
and they go
water.
Into the Peruvian mountains and do that kind of inner space travel thing.
Ah, well, I think it's Vilcabamba. I'm not sure, but there is a river that's known to have had healing properties, and it changes your consciousness. And the monks and the villagers that knew about it would go up to the river because it has the right mm-hmm. amount of silver and gold and the rest of it, and it literally shifts your reality.
Well, remember when God bless Shirley MacLaine came out in the 70s?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She did I'm out on a limb or something.
Yeah,
and that's where she went. She went to Peru, and that's where she had her outer body experience, where she you know, followed her silver thread out of the well. She was
cool.
in the water. Yeah, so. I'm a big fan of Shirley MacLaine.
Oh, me too. Yeah. I just adore her. I saw her live perform in San Francisco, and I'll tell you, I've never seen anybody kick up their legs higher than she did in
high heels.
Oh, my
goodness. I'm telling you, and she's still kicking it together.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
I love her.
She's amazing. She was one of my heroes growing up. I was like, if she can do it, I can do it, too.
Yeah.
If she can go out
you.
And talk about this stuff and nobody's going to beat her up, I'm going to go out and talk about it, too.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So what else? Tell us some more that we might want to hear.
Well, I don't know. Just
well, you knew you were next door neighbors with Wernher von Braun.
Yeah.
And
then I moved to New York City. I lived in Manhattan for 10 years. Had a couple of rock and roll songs written about me. That's always fun. That hit number one.
Wow.
You know, and I had a really blast. I always do things on the 8th. Speaking of kismet or extraterrestrial. Eight being the number for infinity, obviously.
Right.
But I was born in 1960, so everybody can do the math. But I graduated from high school in 1978. I was 18. I moved to New York City on 8888, flight 880, and I landed in gate 8.
Whoa.
When I was 28.
Wow.
I didn't plan it. Just happened.
Right.
I then moved back home to take care of my dad in 98. I left my husband in 08. And I just moved and decided that I was going to stay in California for a little bit longer, and it's now 2018. So, and I just did a big move, which is just exhausting. But I always do things on the eights, and I'm always in my eighth year, or, you know, 58, 28, 38, 48, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm a Pisces, so that kind of explains a little bit, because Pisces is kind of the infinite symbol. Yeah, I think that the number one thing, you know, if I had to say to anybody about anything, is just, again, keep believing and believing. Believe that you're going to go to Egypt. Believe when your mama says, well, honey, you can have a horse if you want it, if you can buy it. And then I go out and I win at bingo. And I come home and say, look, Mommy, I'm buying a horse. Don't tell me I can do something, because I will go out and do it.
Oh, wow, nice, nice.
You know, one of the songs that was written about me was called Little Miss Can't Be Wrong. Serious.
That's great.
So it did hit number one, but because I think that if we really believe in ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and we really believe that we do have that ability to communicate with, whether it's spirit or extraterrestrials or fairies or talk to your dog, or, you know, when Anne and I are really funny, because she'll write a story and I'll be doing a drawing, and I'll say, Anne, I just pulled through this goddess. And she goes, oh, my God, I just wrote a story about her. And then I'll show her the drawing, and I wouldn't have read the story. And I will have done the drawing that goes to her story.
Oh, my God.
And she's like, okay, well, this is weird, you know. And I'm like, I know. And so after a while, we just quit questioning it.
Right, 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 exactly.
It's just like she writes, I draw, and then what she writes, I draw, and then we got to go back and take away what she writes, because then I've drawn it, and it kind of becomes redundant, you know.
So it's, that's so funny.
You know, it's like a back and forth of creating the books. But it's, you know, it's like something I'd always dreamed of, you know. I've always been a decorator and a painter. You know, my dad was an architect. And I grew up making my living, you know, doing that, murals and draperies. And, you know, I've designed 4 homes for the CEO of Uggs Boots and lots of millionaires down the road, and president of the Bank of Israel and Maritime, the shipping company. And it was really fun.
Uh-huh.
And I still love making places beautiful. But when Ann and I sat down that day and, you know, I said something, and she said, well, I've written all these books. And I'm like, and she sent me home with them. And this was like 6 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I read them all. And we kind of just started collaborating and saying, listen, there's a hole in the market of these children that are indigo children.
Yeah.
And indigo adults.
Yes.
Because most of our children's books are not for children. They're for adults.
Right, right.
You know, it's like, who's Winnie the Pooh for? Yeah, hello.
Yeah, right.
You know, who's the Velveteen Rabbit for?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the greatest of children's stories are stories for the parent,
mm-hmm.
to understand the mind of the child,
mm-hmm.
and to communicate with the child.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like our story of becoming that's crossed over on Amazon. It's number one bestseller in self-help.
Mm.
Like,
what's
sold 250,000 copies. Yeah.
Give us the name of that book.
It's called A Story of Becoming.
Okay. Good.
A Story of Becoming.
Okay.
And it's about an apple tree. So people compare it to the giving tree. I said, yes, but our tree lives, and it's a happy story.
Right.
Unlike the giving tree where it dies.
Yeah, right, right. I like happy stories too.
We like happy endings.
Happy
endings do happen.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
They actually do, and I think we've come so bitter in this world that we expect every movie we watch to end with a sadness or to be about, you know, whatever. I can't
right.
even, every movie I turn on, I'm like, I got to turn it off. It's about that again, you know, or death and destruction and you know, the children, and it's really sad, gun control. I mean, there's so much that we can all stand up for and be counted for. But you know, it really starts with our insides, our own one and
yes,
one.
Yes, and learning how to love ourselves. I mean, we can love our dogs and other critters and lavish them with love, but then when it comes to ourselves, we forget to do that because we're projecting outside ourselves. But it's mandatory to love yourself and to have self-esteem and not question yourself, because that's just the mind and the programming, you know, interfering with our natural ability to create magic.
Right. Because if we don't believe we deserve it, then we don't get it.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, you might like a new series that came out called American Gods, because it's about the battle between the old gods and the new gods, and it's really well done. And it ends, the first series ends with the goddess of spring, and she's kind of been, she's throwing a party at Easter, and she's kind of been overwritten by the new gods, which are all about marketing and, you know, magic.
Oh, the Hallmark gods.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And so I'm going to give away a little bit about it, but she ends up stepping up for herself, and she's a beautiful goddess, and she just... Everything turns brown. All the trees die, and the point of it was that when they stop worshiping Christ and begin to worship the goddess that created that that holiday, then she will return everything to greenery.
Yeah. Well, that's what our Legends of the Grail book is about. And a lot of people, I've had some people say, well, isn't the Grail Christianity? And I said, well, no, the Grail is actually the search for the divine feminine, which has been lost through Christianity. You know, and that's a whole different conversation, because the Grail is the cauldron, the vessel, you know. And I remember when Anne first started working on it, I drew one chalice, and I gave it to her as a gift, and I said, here's a chalice for your Grail books. And she goes, and she was going through some stuff, and menopause, and she was really weak, and she said, but the problem is that everybody's chalice is different.
Oh.
Everybody's Grail, everybody's vessel is unique to that particular person.
Well, that makes sense.
Wow. You know, whether your chalice is encrusted in diamonds, or whether it's made of clay, or if it's a wood chalice, or all of us have our own chalice.
Oh, how interesting. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, so it's your divine feminine. And I think that, you know, with the Mayans, we had something to do with the Mayans with that 2012 shift, which is basically still going on. 2012 to 2018 is the shift, because the Mayans don't count things in 365 days, unlike us.
Right.
So the shift was basically you had 5,000 years of, let's say, Isis, divine feminine.
Right.
And then, you know, that went on in Egypt, and, you know, and then they switched it from Isis to the god Ra. So everything switched to the masculine. That's
right.
When you had your Christianity, your Muslim, your Jewish, boom, boom, boom. So that's 5,000 years. So in this last shift, this 2012 shift, is basically what I think we're embracing, is the divine feminine embracing the divine masculine.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why we see so much acceptance and all this transgender. You know, God bless RuPaul. You know, if you can't love yourself, how are you going to love somebody else? RuPaul just got a star on Hollywood. He's a friend of mine from New York. I love RuPaul.
Oh, I do,
and
too.
I totally adore Ru. I mean, I knew him, and he was Paul. You know, I didn't even know he was a trans. I didn't, you know, we just hung out in Soho together and drank coffee, you know.
How funny.
But I think the transgender, the crossover, the whole acceptance of LGBT, it's really been within these last 2012 to 2018. These last 6 years have shown a huge shift in how we view genders.
Yes, absolutely.
Or how we view our masculine self, or how you view your feminine self.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
Man buns, for one. I mean, goodness gracious, God bless them, you know?
Yep. And all that judgment and hatred comes out of the church teachings and the patriarchy of the last 5,000 years.
And the fear. And it's
fear.
All fear-based.
Absolutely. And that's going to dissolve, because it can't hold up.
No.
You know, you can't
and
have
most
hatred.
And most of the ones thumping the Bible the hardest are the ones that are hiding behind the door.
That's
but don't get me started, because,
That's right.
Yeah, I grew up in the Bible Belt, so I have to learn to keep my mouth shut sometimes. You know.
Well, you don't.
I went home
from
my mom's funeral, and I was like, I've never seen this many churches in all my life. And well, I grew up here. Where'd they all come from?
I know. They're like corporations. They just spring up like weeds.
Oh, I have no idea. Anyway, but I believe nature's my, you know, nature's my girl, and you know, I believe in the stars. You know, I wish I knew more about astrology. That's something I'm trying to learn. I just know I'm a Pisces with a Capricorn, get it done kind of attitude. Mm-hmm. But I have a friend that's an astrologer, so I always ask her, well, you know, what should I do today? You know, but I think that we're all. I always like to use the analogy. You kind of used it like a boat on the ocean.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm not a boat on the ocean. I prefer to consider myself a boat on a really lovely little river. It's a canoe, and I'm not at the front, and I'm not in the back. I'm right there in the middle where I have that center of gravity, and I don't have an oar. I don't need an oar.
Right.
Because that current will keep me from breaking on those rocks. That current
right.
will keep me off that sandbar.
Yep.
As long as I trust in the current.
Yes, absolutely.
And so
I
many
love
people
that.
Fight the current.
Yep. Yep.
It's when you like, fight the current that you're not going to make it down that river.
Yep. Yep. And the secret is, you know, there is no fight. The second you fight, you're making it more real.
Exactly. You're letting them win by fighting.
That's right.
Every lesson, whether it's good or bad, is a good lesson.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely right. Mm-hmm. I totally agree with you.
It has to be. Otherwise, what's the point?
You know, right.
if we're fighting the current, what's the point?
Right.
You know.
Right. And that also requires self-acceptance, because not everything that we do is acceptable to ourselves or to others.
No.
And so.
And we're not really there to please anybody.
Right.
You know, again, may I quote RuPaul? If you can't love yourself, how are you going to love somebody else, or is how anybody going to love you?
Exactly.
You know, and I think it is. It is a big thing of acceptance.
Mm-hmm,
you know, and
mm-hmm.
me accepting people if they don't agree with me. You know, when I get
right.
on the phone with my friends from the South that are, you know, not quite as enlightened, I would say.
Right.
You know, I can't shove my opinions down their throat.
That's right. That's right. Everybody,
I have to
like
listen
said,
to them. Exactly.
Everybody
and I have
has
to respect what they believe.
Everybody
you know?
Has a different grail.
Mm-hmm.
So that you and you can't change that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The things that we come in with, some you know we can learn and we can expand and we can learn to think differently. But our essence is pretty much kind of set in stone, so to speak.
It is, but it's also about being open. You know,
right.
I mean, like
oh, yeah.
I'm going to listen. You know, I have a friend who's, you know, very devoutly Jewish, and I adore her, and she, you know, and she does the Seder, and da 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 da. I love that about her. I
yeah.
love that she is so steadfast in her belief, and I love that she loves that I believe in fairies.
Yeah.
And,
oh yeah.
And she does, and she loves that I, you know, and I love my friend, you know, who is just so gung ho on Jesus, and I'm just so happy for her that she loves him. You know, but I'm also happy that she loves that I like, you know, the turtle that I talk to every day, or the chicken,
right.
you know, or, you know, or wait, Belle's, oh my God, there Belle goes again. She's talking about, you know, Oster instead of Easter, and she's going to try to tell me the difference that Jesus wasn't born on Christmas. Okay, love you a lot, Belle, you know.
I love it. You're kind of
like, I love you too, boo, you know.
A little bit of Auntie Mame in you there, I think.
Well, actually, one of my best friends growing up was Minnie Pearl.
Oh, yeah, I love Minnie.
Remember Minnie Pearl from
Hee
Haw?
Oh, yeah. She was
wild.
Well,
she used to come to my camp every summer, and I was her go-to girl, and I would be her day guide every August.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
And to me, she was like the first stand-up comedian that actually made fun of herself.
Oh, she's so hilarious.
She was hilarious. She could
Absolutely.
Laugh at herself. Yeah, she was dating Chet Atkins. All the guys were after her. She was actually a very lovely woman, and quite lovely.
Well, listen,
lived in Nashville.
Belle, we're just about at the end of the show now because it's flown by, and hopefully those little moments of silence can be cut out. But if not, there will be a couple, just to warn people.
Just
and
tell
we
them,
only
yeah.
have a minute left for you to share whatever you want about your websites and how people can reach you.
Yeah, absolutely. So look for Infinite Light Publishing and Kate Sullivan, A-Y-N-C-A-T-E-S, Sullivan, S-U-L-L-I-V-A-N. And I'm Belle Crow Ducray, or Belle Ducray on Facebook. Crow's my maiden name, and I do love that totem. I love crows.
Me too.
And, again, I grew up in the Tennessee foothills, and would love for everybody to check out our books, the Sparkle series, which is Sparkle in the Gift, Sparkle in the Light, and coming up soon, Sparkle in the Rainbow Dragon. We also have Easy Readers, which are called Ella's Gift. No, I can't remember. We have readers.
They can
right?
get a hold of
and then
you
we
on
have
Facebook
the Legends
and ask you about those things.
Yeah. Yes, please do. And you can get everything on Infinite Light Publishing, and all of our books are available on Amazon as downloads or as hardcovers. And if you want one that's signed, you can get in touch with us directly, and we'll be happy to send out a signed book. And we're
wonderful. Well, Belle, it's been a delight talking to you, and we'll have to have another conversation. And once I get that book, I will have you and Anne back, and we'll talk, all three of us, about all of this stuff. So thank you again for being on the show. I absolutely adore you. And
well, thank you, Lance. Well, get down here. Come down when Penny comes.
Yes, well, I think I will.
Absolutely. Come on down to the Southern California land of mudslides and fires. But
I'd love to. Well, have a good day, Belle, and I'll talk to you again soon. Thanks so much.